When Frank's phone alarm goes off signaling he needs to go to the meeting, he sighs. He's been having so much fun with Gerard, wandering from booth to booth and finding things to buy and loads of free shit and just staring at some of the downright crazy stuff they encounter. Gerard gets stopped a couple of times for an autograph or a picture. Gerard seems really surprised every time. It's adorable. "Meet you later?" he asks. "Duh," Gerard answers. Frank pulls up the day's schedule in his BlackBerry. "I don't know. There's meetings and another panel and a party I'm supposed to go to tonight. What's your schedule like?"
"Just go hang out at a booth with Becky and the guys, maybe do some drawings for people."
"Do you have your pens?" Frank teases. Gerard grins.
"I have a set of everything at the booth. I've learned my lesson."
Gerard pauses.
"Party?
Come with me?"
Frank hopes Gerard says yes. Ending the day at a party like that with Grant is exactly everything he doesn't want to do right now. He certainly wouldn't blame Gerard for saying no. It's sure to be horribly awkward at times.
"Totally," Gerard says. Frank beams at him. Suddenly, the evening doesn't seem nearly as unbearable as it did 5 minutes ago.
"So meet in my room at about 8. We can go from there."
"I'll be there. Do you have any breaks later? We could have coffee or a smoke or something,"
Gerard suggests. Frank leans in and kisses him right there on the convention center floor. Gerard smiles at him when he pulls back. "I'll text you. I think I have some time around lunch. I'll have to pick up some food for Grant, but we can take a few minutes."
"Sounds good. Have a good day?"
Gerard sounds a little hesitant.
"I will now,"
Frank tells him. He's hoping he's not telling a lie. He's not quite so sure when he winds his way up to the meeting room where Grant is hammering out a list of things with editorial. The comics industry doesn't stop for Comic-Con. It just takes the opportunity to have lots of face-to-face meetings. Grant probably does a lot better when he doesn't have so many face-to-face meetings. An hour in, and he's already wearing the face that says, "If you value my sanity, get me some tea and take the phone away from me." Frank can't do that, but he can make something up.
"Grant, I'm so sorry, but you have press in 5.
Frank begins gathering his things, trusting the room to follow suit, and they do. Holding back a satisfied grin, Frank leads Grant upstairs into one of the special guest screen rooms, shoving him gently toward a chair and going over to make Grant a cup of tea. There are a few other people in the room, reading or chatting quietly, and Frank looks around for a moment before taking Grant the tea.
"Frank, you're a miracle," Grant says softly.
"You don't actually have press,"
Frank says, unsure how exactly to answer that. His stomach squirms.
"I assumed," Grant replies. "I thank you for knowing I needed a break."
"I always know,"
Frank responds before he can catch himself. Grant sips his tea and doesn't say anything for a moment.
"Yes, I know,
He stops. Frank knows he wants to say more. Frank very desperately wants him not to say more, because this conversation is drifting into an area he just cannot visit right now. Whatever is on his face, Grant obviously reads it right and just takes another sip instead.
"I won't need you this afternoon after my panel," he continues, "if you have anything you'd like to do."
"Yes, thanks, Frank says.
Once they're out of that room, things get busy again. Frank takes a few minutes around lunch to smoke a quick cigarette with Gerard and find a sandwich for Grant. The time for the panel nearly sneaks up on him, but he herds Grant over to the right conference room and watches as Grant squares his shoulders, walks onto the stage, and takes command of the room. Frank hovers at the edge of the stage watching Grant. He looks infinitely more at ease up there than he did in a couple of the day's meetings, but Frank can see as the panel progresses that he's getting worn around the edges. When Grant comes off the stage, he waves at everyone and then goes straight back to the quieter VIP areas.
"Are you sure you don't need me?"
Frank asks. Frank knows the only thing on his schedule is a casual get-together a little later in the afternoon, but Grant gets himself roped into things sometimes, and Frank doesn't want to leave him when he's clearly tired.
"I'm sure, Frank. I think I'll go back to the hotel and attempt to sleep until the thing this afternoon."
Grant runs a hand over his head.
"Okay, I'll get a security guy to walk you back to the hotel,"
Frank says, and starts looking around. Grant opens his mouth, and it looks like he's about to protest. Then he sighs and nods.
"That's probably a good idea."
Frank flags down a security guy who is, luckily, just coming back from a break and has a minute.
"See you tonight," Frank tells Grant.
"Yes, tonight. Have a good afternoon, Frank."
Grant nods to the security guard and they walk away.
Frank heaves a sigh and then makes his way over to Artist Alley and finds the right booth. When he gets there, everyone is bent over a sketchbook. Frank is quiet walking up, but he supposes it's not really necessary. All of them have gotten accustomed to working through the noise of Comic-Con. Gerard has a kid in front of him who's maybe 14 at the oldest, and he's talking to the kid about art and comics as he draws. Frank finds it more than a little charming. He stands quietly waiting for Gerard to finish. Gerard hands the kid a sketch and says goodbye and caps his pen. So what can... Oh, it's just you. Frank laughs.
Well, I feel wanted and appreciated.
Gerard smirks at him and tugs him around the table and pulls him down for a kiss. He murmurs in Frank's ear. Oh, you're very wanted and appreciated, but you're not paying me to draw you something, because I'll draw you something for free and I don't have to do it here. Frank swallows hard and whispers back.
I'll have to take you up on that sometime.
Gerard nods seriously, and then one of the twins lets out a catcall and Frank starts giggling. Gerard grins back. So are you just saying hi? Gerard asks.
No, I have the rest of the afternoon. Grant decided to go sleep.
Wow, he must be fucking exhausted then. Gerard says quietly. Frank nods.
And then he has a casual get-together thing that I don't need to be at, so I'm here.
Frank gestures around him at the booth. I'm scheduled to sign and draw for the next... Gerard glances at his watch. Hour and a half, but you're welcome to hang out.
Sounds like fun to me,
Frank says, and grabs a spare chair. He pulls it up next to Gerard's and sits down. Frank spends the rest of the afternoon watching Gerard draw, with breaks to watch Becky and the twins. It's fascinating to see professional artists at work, and he loves the things they come up with on the fly. None of them seem to mind any of his questions or him watching, which is nice. When things start wrapping up for the day, they all head for their hotel rooms, promising to meet in the lobby in half an hour for one last dinner together. In the elevator, Frank punches the button for his floor and then Gerard's floor while Gerard crowds up against him, nuzzling his cheek and slipping his hand in Frank's back pocket. The elevator isn't exactly empty, but Gerard doesn't seem to care. And then it dings for his floor, and Frank has to push him out.
If you come upstairs with me, we'll never get to dinner, he laughs.
Gerard grins back unrepentantly as the elevator doors close. Frank can't seem to wipe the grin off his face, at least until he's in front of his door with Grant's across the hall. He really wants to just knock and see how Grant is doing, but then he'd run the danger of waking him up or just bothering him, so Frank sighs and sticks his keycard in the slot of his door and goes in. He changes his clothes because he figures they'll just head to the party after, makes sure his invitation is tucked into a pocket, brushes his teeth again, and then sits down to wait for the rest of the half hour to pass. Finally, he heads back downstairs to meet with everyone. They go eat dinner at an amazing restaurant, and it's a lot of fucking fun. Gerard's friends are pretty much great, the food is great, and Gerard's hand finding its way up Frank's thigh every once in a while is even better. After dinner, they split up, and Frank leads the way to the party. When Gerard sees the sandwich board saying CBLDF party, he starts laughing.
What?
Frank asks. I actually had an invite to this, but I decided to skip it because being your date to whatever party you were going to sounded even better, he explains, suddenly looking the tiniest bit bashful. Frank leans up to kiss his cheek.
I'm glad.
So is Grant involved with the fund? Is that how you... Gerard hesitates. Frank resists wrinkling his nose. If they can't have a conversation about Grant, or with Grant, this is just going to be fucking torture.
He and Vince donated some stuff for the auction this year. I helped coordinate, and the guys of the fund were cool, so they swung me an invite.
Will they be here?
No idea, Frank says firmly. He's not letting weirdness spoil this. So I haven't actually met any of the CBLDF guys yet this weekend. Do you know them?
Yeah, that's Dave over there talking to... Oh, hey, that's Neil. Let's go say hi.
Gerard grabs Frank's wrist and tows him across the room to,
yes, that's Neil Gaiman, and Frank tries not to actually stare as Gerard exchanges hello, then adds, this is Frank Iero, Dave. Neil, he's...
A lifesaver, Dave finishes. I'm so glad you came. It's great to meet you. Frank works for Grant Morrison,
he says as an aside to Neil, who smiles and offers a hand.
You sure you don't want to move to New York and work for us?
He asks Frank, and Frank laughs. The truth is, even if he's joking, it's really fucking tempting. Except for one thing. One big, undeniable, inconvenient thing.
Maybe next time, Frank says, smiling a bit.
He cuts his eyes to Gerard, who's watching him intently and who jumps into the conversation with a comment to Neil. After a few minutes of conversation, suddenly there's a body squeezing in between him and Gerard and an arm wrapping around his shoulders and squeezing.
I haven't seen you boys much this weekend. Jill looks back and forth between them, then releases them. We've been busy, doing our jobs, Gerard exclaims. With each other, more like, she teases. Frank feels his face flush, and he peeks around Jill at Gerard, who's blushing a little too. But mostly he's smiling wide. That too, Gerard says with a smirk. Frank, is Grant here yet? I have a question for him, and he's been difficult to track down this afternoon. Jill sighs long-sufferingly.
I don't know. He went back to the hotel to sleep for the afternoon, so I'm sure he'll be arriving soon. I can call.
No, that's not necessary. It's not a business thing. It can wait. So when are you heading back to Brooklyn, Gerard? Jill asks.
I'm not sure yet. Gerard's eyes flick to Frank's, and he raises an eyebrow. Frank grins at him. Maybe not until Frank kicks me out of his apartment, but probably as soon as Grant gets me the next script, because otherwise I'll be too easily distracted.
Jill tips her head back and laughs, and Neil and Dave join her. Frank has a moment where everything about his life is incredibly surreal. Neil Gaiman and Jill Thompson are laughing about his love life. Finally, Jill gives them one last shoulder squeeze and leaves, and Dave leads Neil off to talk to someone else, and Frank and Gerard are alone. At least long enough to get some drinks and find what they think is a quiet corner. It's clearly not as quiet as they'd expected, though, because no sooner is Frank wrapping his fingers around Gerard's jacket collar than someone else is calling Gerard's name with a laugh in her voice. It's Becky, and as she dodges a cluster of taller people, Frank can hear Gerard bite back a sigh. Hey, Becky, he says. Becky smiles. Did I interrupt something? She teases.
Yes, Frank tells her, and she outright laughs.
I like you, Frank. She takes a sip of her drink, then adds, but really?
Really, it's fine, Gerard tells her. You're just going to owe me.
Becky groans. That never ends well.
Gerard laughs and tugs Frank closer to give him another kiss. Frank loses track of who they talk to after Becky. Friends of Gerard's, mostly, but when Vince stops Frank to say hello and thank him for helping with the auction pieces, Frank figures Grant's around somewhere, too. Frank can't see him anywhere, and he's looking, so he finally gives up and pulls Gerard out on the patio for a smoke. And a kiss. And a few kisses. And a few more. And Gerard's mouthing at Frank's collarbone through his shirt when Frank finally spots him. Grant spots him at the same time, and they make eye contact. No denying it. But Grant makes no move to come over, and Frank closes his eyes against the sight. Closes his eyes until he can lose himself in Gerard again. When Gerard pulls back for a moment, Frank murmurs, "Let's go."
"Back to the hotel?"
Gerard asks. "Anywhere we can be alone," Frank tells him. Gerard's eyes light, and Frank's blood heats. They share a look for a moment, then slip out with saying anything more to anyone. They light cigarettes and walk back to the hotel hand in hand. Frank starts laughing after a minute of walking and smoking.
What? Gerard asks, bemused.
We were totally the horrible PDA couple at that party, weren't we?
Oh God, we totally were, Gerard groans.
Do you really care? Frank takes a drag of his cigarette. He kind of does, but only for one reason. The rest don't matter.
Not really, except how they'll never let us live it down. There's always con couples, though. It happens every year.
Is that what we are? Frank asks, sucking in another lungful of smoke. A con couple?
I was hoping we were a little more than that, Gerard says. They always break up after a couple of weeks, and then it's NYCC, and suddenly they're interacting again, and it's awkward.
It's not going to be easy living so far apart, Frank points out.
Gerard squeezes his hand. We got to be pretty fucking good friends long distance, didn't we? And I have a few frequent flyer miles racked up, and I can work from anywhere as long as I have access to a scanner in an art store.
Yeah. So, we're doing this?
Fuck yeah, we are. Gerard stops and pulls Frank toward him and kisses him. Let's get inside. I need to...
Yeah, me too.
Frank whispers against his lips. They can't get upstairs soon enough. Frank can't help the way his mind is racing. Gerard and Grant, according to Gerard, are just friends. But the way Grant was looking at them says that's not the whole story. And Frank would do nearly anything for Grant, but he's just not strong enough to step aside. Even if he was, Gerard wants Frank, despite knowing, despite seeing, how miserably hung up Frank is. Gerard wants him, and Gerard is everything Frank knew he would be and more. And Frank can be happy with that. He can. He is happy, because Gerard has him up against the door to his hotel room as soon as he gets it open, and Gerard is biting at his neck and pushing at his shirt, and he's warm and solid and the personification of so many fantasies. Frank's fucking missed this. Missed the press of someone else's body against his. He's been single for a long time. Hell, he'd been too busy for a dog, much less a relationship, even before he'd started working for Grant. And now...
"You meant it. You'll stay for a while,"
he whispers.
"After..."
He trails off.
"God, I've missed this,"
Frank groans when Gerard tugs his shirt off and reaches for Frank's belt. "You'll have to kick me out," Gerard answers, shoving at Frank's jeans, moaning appreciatively when he discovers Frank's lack of underwear.
"Oh, fuck, how are you real?"
Frank laughs and goes to help him, and between the two of them, they manage to get rid of the rest of their shoes and clothing and stagger somewhat unsteadily to the bed. Once they're there, though, they just wrestle around in a tangle of arms and legs until they find a comfortable position to keep kissing. Gerard's straddling Frank's hips and leaning down to kiss him again and again, and their dicks are sliding together, and it's torture, but the good kind.
"Fuck me tonight,"
Frank asks. Begs, really, as Gerard mouths down his chest, and Gerard bites into his peck hard enough to sting a little, then groans into Frank's skin.
Yes, Gerard says. "Fuck yes, Frankie."
He leans back up and kisses Frank again until they're panting, then adds,
"Do you have..."
"Yeah."
Frank waits for Gerard to move aside and rolls off the bed, heading for his travel kit in the bathroom, and blessing himself for being insane enough to actually stock up, just in case. He grabs a packet of lube and a condom and walks back into the bedroom, where Gerard has pushed back the covers of the bed and is kneeling in the middle of the mattress, lips swollen, skin flushed, looking pink and white, and yet not at all innocent. He reaches out when Frank is close enough to grab, twists his fingers in the longer strands of Frank's hair, and pulls him in. Frank has to tip his head back and moan, and Gerard chuckles.
"You like that?"
he murmurs against Frank's cheek.
"God, Frank, you're so fucking pretty. You should see yourself. I want to draw you like this."
"Don't you want to do anything else?"
Frank asks breathlessly, running his hands up Gerard's chest and back into the short strands at his nape.
"Everything else," Gerard corrects him, tipping them back over against the pillows. "Everything."
"Yes,"
Frank gasps when Gerard starts sucking on his nipple.
"Fuck, yes, everything."
Gerard doesn't spend long there. He kisses his way down Frank's stomach, stopping to pay special attention to Frank's birds and tracing the "and" with his tongue. He scoots down further, nuzzles the base of Frank's cock. Frank's hips twitch, and Gerard looks up at him with a little smirk on his face.
"You're not coming until I'm fucking you, so you might as well relax, Frankie."
Gerard nudges Frank's knees apart and kisses up his thigh. He bites down lightly on Frank's inner thigh, and Frank twitches again. Gerard laughs into the skin there and follows it up with a kiss. Frank reaches out a hand and clutches at Gerard's silvery blonde hair. He gasps, and Frank has to bite his lip, especially when Gerard's fingers wander back, stroking lightly over Frank's entrance.
"Gerard, your fingers, please,"
Frank moans. There's a pause, and Gerard's fingers are back.
"Since you said please,"
he says as he slowly slides one finger inside Frank. He keeps going, moving slowly. Frank doesn't realize his eyes are shut until Gerard squeezes Frank's thigh with his free hand, and they pop open.
"Fuck, Gerard, more, please."
Frank thrusts back onto Gerard's finger, and Gerard slowly adds another. Frank moans. He feels so good. He thinks he might vibrate out of his skin.
"Gerard!"
Gerard bends his head down and sucks Frank's balls into his mouth, and Frank has to clutch the sheets in his fist.
"You're going to kill me,"
Frank groans.
"It's been..."
"Been what?" Gerard pulls back and asks.
"A long time. Fuck! Fuck!"
Frank shudders as Gerard licks a stripe up his inner thigh, then leans in to mouth at the head of Frank's cock. Gerard moans a bit, and Frank's hips buck. Gerard's got a wicked mouth, and when he leans in and takes Frank more fully into his mouth, Frank just collapses back into the mattress and closes his eyes.
"Nice knowing you,"
he mumbles. Gerard adds a third finger. He's clearly drawing this out on purpose now. Frank just heaves a breath and tries not to come. Gerard pulls off with a pop and pushes himself up over Frank's body to kiss him.
"Are you always so impatient?"
he whispers into Frank's cheek, and Frank nods mutely.
You shouldn't tell me these things. It makes me want to tease. Gerard tells him.
I'll beg if that's what you want. Holy fuck, just keep...
Gerard pulls his fingers out and Frank breaks off with a whimper. Gerard gets himself ready as Frank watches wide-eyed, then presses close and pushes in, and they both groan. It feels so good. Gerard's eyes snap shut as he starts up a rhythm, and Frank breathes shallowly and watches his face. He's gorgeous, delicate, and dirty, and Frank just has to reach for him, wrapping his legs around Gerard's waist and drawing him down to bite at his jaw, hands wrapped tight around Gerard's shoulders. Gerard pulls back enough to get a hand in between them and stroke Frank off, and Frank's own eyes snap shut. He's sure he can't last, feeling his own orgasm gather from his chest and legs and dick, breathing through it, feeling Gerard's thrusts go hard and erratic and his breath panting out between moans. And it's Gerard who comes first with a final hard thrust, groaning Frank's name and stiffening against him, his hands still moving, moving until Frank follows, spilling into Gerard's hand and onto his own belly. Gerard holds himself up long enough to pull out, sparking a whimper from Frank, and then presses up against his side despite the mess, searching for his mouth and kissing him until he's dizzy.
Frank, 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 Frank,
he's murmuring between kisses, soft repetitions that seem more like a mantra than a question. Frank holds on and kisses back, and eventually they're both still enough to catch their breath, and then he replies with a soft,
Gerard.
He goes to sit up and get a washcloth to mop off with, and Gerard clutches him tighter.
I'm not going far, Frank tells him, and when he's gotten himself cleaned up, Gerard is sitting up in bed, watching him.
See? Frank says softly.
Still here.
You need to be here, Gerard answers just as softly, and Frank quirks a half smile and crawls back onto the mattress.
Okay.
He grabs Gerard around the waist and pulls him back down into the pillows, then squirms around until he can comfortably wrap an arm around his waist.
Better?
Perfect, Gerard says.
It's close.
Gerard has a panel Sunday afternoon, and it's in the midst of a bunch of Grant's interviews, so Frank can't get there. He texts Gerard afterwards with a sad face, only to get a message back. Stay tonight with me. I'm trying to reschedule my flight. Frank immediately calls Amtrak and gets his ticket changed to Monday. Then he goes to find Grant, who's seated at one of the tables in the Wired Cafe, talking to Jim Lee.
I'm going to stay until Monday, Grant, if that's all right. It was easy to switch the ticket. You gave me that day off already, so you should stay, Grant says equitably. Jim here can tell you all the best things to do with a bit of extra time in San Diego, if you want to do a bit of exploring with...
He trails off. Frank bites his lip. Jim jumps in with some immediate suggestions, some of which sound pretty cool, and Frank makes Jim repeat a few of them so he can write them down.
So, tonight I'll... The staff is already holding my bag. I'll get a cab to the station after I'm done here. I'll just need my ticket.
Frank nods. Easy enough. He sets his bag down to dig for the tickets and hands Grant's over. Grant thanks him. Frank breathes out, nods at Jim, smiles back at Grant questioningly.
Do you need me for anything right now?
The last interview is Jim and I at 4, which is... Grant squints at Jim's watch. In 10 minutes. I'll walk upstairs with Jim. I suppose that means you're free to go, Frank.
All right. See you Tuesday, I guess.
Frank rocks back and forth on his toes.
Thanks for your hard work this weekend,
Grant tells him, and the smile he gives Frank is smooth, remote. It's his professional smile. Frank bites his lip again.
I hope I did a good job.
He smiles back and offers,
Bye then.
Grant says goodbye. So does Jim. Frank grabs the strap of his bag and leaves, walking somewhat blindly down the hallway till he finds a quiet spot to dial Gerard.
Hi, he says. Where are you?
Outside of door D, Gerard tells him. Going for a smoke. Should I?
Wait just a sec,
Frank tells him, jogging through the lobby and catching up with Gerard outside. He lets Gerard catch him in his arms and squeeze. Gerard pulls back, takes another look at Frank, and squeezes him again. I was on the phone for like an hour, but I got my departure switched to Saturday out of LAX, he says with a smile, and I got a train ticket, and now you're going to have to deal with me and all my stuff for a week.
I'm good at that, Frank tells him. I'm the best at that.
He leans up and kisses Gerard right there on the sidewalk.
I'm so glad you're coming.
Gerard smiles. Me too,
Are you done? Frank nods. He'd stashed his stuff in Gerard's room this morning, so he's officially on his own time.
You?
Wanna go help me pack up the booth? Gerard bats his eyelashes at Frank, and Frank snorts.
Sure. Then I think we should do something fun.
Gerard leers at him, and Frank adds, not in the hotel room.
Gerard giggles.
Anything you want, Frank. With the five of them working together, the booth gets torn down quickly. They plan to meet up later for one last dinner, then Frank and Gerard drop Gerard's boxes off at the hotel and set off on foot. They hit up several of Jim's recommendations that are in walking distance, plus a little cafe for some gelato. They get different flavors and feed each other bites, and it's probably the most cliched thing Frank has ever done in his life, but he can't bring himself to care. When they get to the restaurant, they find their party has expanded to include more stragglers who haven't left San Diego yet. They end up getting put in a room with a giant table to themselves, and it's a great night. There's lots of laughter and gossip about everything that went on during the con. Frank is caught between finding it really, really fucking funny, and the reality that he's going to have to talk to many of these people on the phone with all this new information in mind.
So why isn't Grant here?
Phil Jimenez asks Frank. Frank has to hold in a flinch.
We were supposed to both go back tonight, but I, decided to stay a little longer.
Phil cuts his eyes to Gerard and smiles softly.
I understand.
Frank beams back. Things wind down, and people start scattering to go do other things or go sleep, and soon it's just the five of them. None of them are in a hurry to leave the table. Frank's only known Becky and the twins for a couple of days, but he's sorry to have to say goodbye to them so soon. There's always the chance of seeing Becky if he ever goes out to see Gerard or his parents, but he doesn't foresee himself making it to Brazil anytime soon. Finally, they all get up and walk back to the hotel. There's a lot of hugging and backslapping, and Frank makes sure they all have his email address, and he has theirs. When Becky hugs him goodbye, she pulls back, hands on his shoulders, and says firmly, "You can't steal him permanently. Finding a new studio mate we don't all hate on short notice would be a pain in the fucking ass." Frank laughs.
"I won't hold him hostage, I promise. I can't be held responsible for his own choices, though."
She sighs dramatically. "Fine, fine." She disappears into an opening elevator with a wave over her shoulder. "Bye, boys! Have fun!" They go up to their room and have slow, lazy sex. Frank feels like he's making up for a lot of lost time kissing. He doesn't mind. He comes with one of Gerard's hands on his cock and the fingers of the other hand buried in his hair. The next day, they take a cab to a UPS store to ship Gerard's boxes of unneeded materials back to New York, and then get on the train back to L.A. It's a short trip, but they both fall asleep. Frank slumped against Gerard, who slumped against the window. When they get to Frank's apartment, he can't help the sigh of relief that escapes him. San Diego was fun, and he was a little nervous about leaving the weird con bubble, but he's happy to be home. Once they get all their shit in from the cab, Gerard wraps himself around Frank from behind.
So this is home?
Yep. Whatever you need, just use it or ask if you can't find anything. Feel free to work wherever is most convenient for you if you need to. The table's probably biggest, but the light in here is probably best because of all the windows.
Frank babbles. Gerard's lips trail up his neck to his ear.
Okay, Frankie.
Frank pulls him over to the couch, and they make out for a while. They fall asleep together again, the craziness of Comic-Con catching up with them, and when they wake up mid-afternoon, Frank makes coffee and is poking through his cupboards, trying to decide if he'll make them a meal or order in, when his phone rings. It's Grant.
Grant, hi,
he answers. Gerard's head pops up from where he's inspecting Frank's DVD collection.
Good afternoon, Frank. I've decided to move up my flight, so I'll be going back to Scotland in the morning.
Grant says.
What? Sorry, I mean, do you need any help? I can come over there and...
That won't be necessary, Grant interrupts.
Thank you, Frank.
There's a long pause, which Frank feels like he should fill or at least say, you're welcome, but he can't seem to get his mouth to work, and then Grant adds,
your assistance was invaluable this weekend. Thank you again for that. I'll be in touch soon.
Safe trip, Frank says as the line goes dead. He puts the phone down on the counter and frowns.
What was that about?
Gerard asks.
He's leaving in the morning. He moved his flight up.
Oh, huh, Gerard says. He doesn't look as puzzled as the words sound.
Yeah,
Frank says. He sighs. There's no way he can cook now. He'd be too distracted. He grabs a bunch of takeout menus from the drawer and hands them to Gerard to choose, and then he calls in the order and pulls Gerard back onto the couch to sit with him. On the one hand, he'll have more time with Gerard, even if it means they're sitting in the same room working. On the other, Grant going back so early is making his stomach hurt in inexplicable ways. They spend the next few days exploring L.A. a little bit, as well as each other, a lot. Frank leaves Gerard in bed early in the mornings and goes over to get some work done. Being in Grant's house without Grant and without even the cats is weird, but Frank stays a few hours anyway. Grant isn't in contact, but Frank figures he's probably shaking off jet lag or has a bit of the con crud and is taking a few days off and just forgot to tell Frank. So Frank takes a few things home to do and he works on them while Gerard draws. On Friday morning, he looks over at Gerard munching on toast and drinking coffee and blurts out, "I'm glad you're here." Gerard sets his toast down on the plate and his mug on the coffee table and scoots into Frank's space. "Me too," he says, and nuzzles Frank's cheek. "I was thinking about pushing my flight back again, if that's okay with you."
"That would be amazing."
"Okay, I'll call later then." Gerard kisses him, hands framing Frank's face, and then goes back to his breakfast. Frank didn't realize how much he'd been dreading Gerard leaving until Gerard said something about staying. He goes back to his own breakfast, feeling suddenly much more interested in eating and getting out to enjoy the day. The weekend is great, and when Frank gets to work early Monday morning, he's feeling pretty good. Except there's no email from Grant in his inbox, and two from people trying to get in touch with him. Frank frowns and shoots an email to Grant to check in, and then gets busy answering the phone messages and a few emails. By the end of the day, there's no answer, and he leaves frowning. He tries calling Grant the next day and gets no answer. He finally gets a brief email just as he's about to leave in which Grant promises he'll email the people he's supposed to. Frank breathes a sigh of relief and goes home to Gerard feeling a lot better. Except the next day, he gets three emails from people attempting to get in touch with Grant that he forwards straight to Grant. He also needs Grant's signature on something. It's not particularly urgent, but he scans and sends the form to Grant and puts "important" in the subject line, requesting that Grant reply to the email to confirm he's seen it. Grant should have plenty of time to sign and mail them back. When he gets home, Gerard is waiting at the door and pushes him up against it, scrabbling at his pants and unbuttoning and unzipping him before pushing him over to the couch. Gerard pushes Frank down and the coffee table out of the way and sinks down on his knees and takes Frank's cock in his mouth. It's so damn hot, and Gerard is so fucking good at it. He's coming down Gerard's throat before he's ready. He pulls at Gerard's arm until he comes up off the floor and straddles Frank's thighs. Gerard leans down and kisses Frank. He strokes his hands up and down Frank's arms, pulls back, and asks, "How was your day?" "Way, way better now," Frank answers breathlessly, and gets Gerard's pants open so he can get his hands on Gerard's cock. It turns into a really fucking great evening. He doesn't get a reply from Grant all day Thursday. He tries calling and emailing again, but gets no response. He's so fucking frustrated, he decides to say fuck it and stay home on Friday. He'll check his email and have the phone forwarded to his BlackBerry, but he's going to spend his last full day with Gerard enjoying himself, not frustrated beyond the telling. When the light on Frank's BlackBerry starts blinking, indicating an email, he picks it up immediately. Maybe, just maybe, Grant has finally gotten back to him. Except no. It's an email from Mark Wade asking if Frank can make sure Grant has gotten some important information about 52 because he hasn't responded to Mark's emails. Frank wants to slam his head against the wall repeatedly. Gerard raises a questioning eyebrow at him from the corner of the couch. Frank sighs. "Have you tried to get in contact with Grant recently? And most importantly, has he gotten back to you?" "Yeah, I emailed him a few days ago. No response," Gerard says. Frank rubs his forehead and takes a deep breath. Then another. His throat feels tight and his eyes are burning. He doesn't fucking know what to do about it. Why the fuck is he doing this again? Gerard pulls him down onto the couch next to him. "Frankie, I know it's really frustrating, but he's upset."
"I can't..." "Really, Gerard? Upset? I am fucking upset because he promised me he wouldn't do this anymore. This is personal. What am I supposed to do here? I'm not going to apologize for being with you. It's the only thing... I can't."
Gerard sighs and tugs at his hair like he wishes it was longer. "Frank," he he says, clearly choosing his words carefully. He's still going to be in love with you no matter who you're dating or if you're dating. Frank freezes, then sputters, "In love with?" And Gerard just looks at him levelly. "Frank." Frank's pulse starts pounding. He starts pacing, stops again, picks up a glass from the kitchen counter, puts it back down. Gently. "In love with me. He never... Why?" "He thinks you don't think about him that way. He thinks, knows now, that you're interested in me. I always hoped that he was right, but shit, Frankie, I can see how you feel about him." Frank feels his way onto a bar stool and just sits for a moment, stunned. "I fucking am interested in you. You make me so happy I can hardly breathe. He likes you." Gerard takes a few deep breaths. "I know Grant likes me. I like him, and if things were different, maybe it would have been more than that. But he practically told the entire Eisner Awards how he feels about you, Frankie. The only mistake he made was to say life instead of heart." Frank has no idea what to say. He feels a little like an idiot that this was apparently all obvious enough that someone picked up on it, and that he didn't. He'd like to think that, if he'd known, Grant's heart shit, trust Gerard to be as melodramatic as possible, but he can't fucking deny it, and he'd known he was hurting Grant. He'd just been wrong about how. But if he had picked up on it, what would he have done? That would have meant that he and Gerard wouldn't have... "What exactly do you expect me to do?" he asks Gerard miserably. Gerard takes half a minute to respond. Then he looks up, and he looks so sad, like he did at the Eisners, and Frank swallows hard. "You should go to him, Frank."
"What? Fuck! No, Gerard, I'm not leaving you!"
"No, you're not," Gerard says firmly. "That is the last thing I would ever ask for. But I have to go home anyway. Not that I want to. I really fucking don't, Frank. But this... I fucking know you well enough to know you won't forgive yourself if you don't try to figure this out."
"I don't know how. I don't want to lose either of you."
Gerard sets aside his sketchbook and pen and gets up, crowding into Frank's space and wrapping his arms around him. Frank, even if we weren't anything more than friends, I'd be glad just to have you. I can't speak for Grant, but..."
"No, you can't,"
Frank says skeptically. "But I can't imagine he'd say different." Gerard finishes.
"This sucks," Frank mutters against Gerard's shoulder. "And it's also, like, my livelihood. This is basically the first stable, full-time job I've ever had. I don't want to..."
Frank sighs. "You need to know what you do want, Frank. And I think you need to go back there to convince yourself what that is." Frank nods. The problem is, he wants everything. He wants Grant, and he wants his job, and he wants Gerard. And he feels like he's in one of those stupid triangles where he can only choose two corners.
You're right. I have to go, but... Gerard."
Frank tips his face up to kiss Gerard, grabbing his head and tugging him in for a long, desperate kiss. "Yes," Gerard mumbles, pushing him up against the wall. "Always yes." Gerard leaves first, reluctantly gathering scattered possessions from across Frank's apartment. It's amazing how his things have mixed in with Frank's in the past 2 weeks. Frank steals a Dawn of the Dead t-shirt out of the clothes pile. He makes sure Gerard sees him doing it, and Gerard just laughs. "That may have originally belonged to Mikey," he tells Frank.
"Mine now,"
Frank tells him, and Gerard grins. "Whatever you want. I might make you bring it back to me eventually." Frank stifles a grin, then deadpans,
"I might say yes."
Frank flies out the next day. He gets to LAX late, suffers through the never-ending security, but when he gets to the gate, he still has enough time to type out a text to Gerard.
"At the airport, wearing your shirt, feel like you're doing this with me."
His phone rings less than a minute later.
"Frank,"
Gerard says softly. He sounds a little choked up. Frank doesn't even have time to respond before he hears them call his boarding group.
Gerard, I'm boarding, like, right now. I just wanted to tell you,
Call me from the future," Gerard interrupts, with a smile in his voice this time. Frank laughs, like Gerard clearly meant him to, and promises he will. Grant's not expecting any deliveries, and he has most potential visitors, usually his sister or Vince, well-trained to call beforehand. The only reason he even considers answering the door is that it's a gray, foggy day, and staring out of his study window feels uncannily like piloting a ghost ship. If someone's got lost by the lock and found his door, he wouldn't feel right to ignore the summons. He opens the door and gets the surprise of his life. Frank? Immediately his mind starts churning through worst-case scenarios. He can't breathe.
Why didn't you tell me?
Frank doesn't clarify, and Grant doesn't ask him to. There's only one thing he could mean. Grant just can't credit him flying 5,000 miles to talk about it, unless...
Frank, please, come inside.
Grant steps back and motions Frank inside. He goes to grab Frank's bag, but Frank keeps hold of it, steps into the entrance hallway, and sits his luggage by the foot of the stairs himself. When he looks back up, he's much closer and looking unblinkingly at Grant.
Grant, why didn't you tell me?
Grant says, would it have made a difference?
I don't know.
Then why are you here? Grant asks. Frank answers,
because I want to know.
And Grant closes his eyes for a second, then opens them again.
Frank,
he whispers. Frank's finally here, no pretense or misunderstanding between them, and Grant has absolutely no idea what to do about that. Frank steps closer and wraps his arms around Grant's waist and buries his face in Grant's chest. Grant lets out a measured breath and folds his own arms around Frank. Just knowing he doesn't have to let go after a too short moment is nearly enough, but he wants more. So much more. Grant gets a hand under Frank's chin, tips his face up, and kisses him. And Frank melts into him, but when he pulls back, he says,
I'm really fucking pissed about whatever shit you were pulling this past week.
Grant pulls him back in. I don't do too well without you anymore. Frank freezes for a few seconds, then wraps his arms around Grant's neck and kisses back for all he's worth. When they pull apart again, Grant rests his forehead against Frank's, and Frank whispers,
You make me so crazy.
Grant can't even deny it, but Frank's been making him crazy for a long time, too. Finally, Grant lets go and says, Should we take your things upstairs? Do you need to rest? Do you...
Coffee. Frank answers, Just, can we have some and...
Grant nods, turning and leading the way into the kitchen. Coffee and conversation. The coffee's the easy part. He gently pushes Frank into a chair when Frank tries to head for the coffee-making supplies. When the coffee is brewing, Grant turns back to Frank and leans on the counter.
Did you tell Gerard you were coming?
He asks. Frank makes an expression that's somewhere indefinably between a smile and a frown.
He made me come,
Frank answers. The conversation part. Definitely the hard part. Grant's exhausted from a week of confusion and inner turmoil, and he just says,
What?
Then he mentally gathers himself and says,
How so? He's basically stupidly understanding, and I don't get it, but I'm not going to complain.
Frank sounds confused, too. Grant says slowly,
He sent you after me.
He can't help but think about what he'd done at Comic-Con, about how neatly Gerard has turned the tables on him, and it makes his heart clench a bit that Gerard would do it. They're a pair of masochists, it seems. Then Grant thinks about Frank, who must feel like he's sacrificing something any way he turns, and his heart clenches even more.
What do you think he... What do you want, Frank?
The coffee is ready. Grant turns away and fixes a cup for Frank and one for himself, sets Frank's mug in front of him and sips his own, letting Frank consider his answer.
I want to have everything I want,
Frank says after a moment, staring at the hot surface of his drink.
Maybe, probably even, that's unreasonable, but I want Gerard and I want you and I sort of don't want to lose my job either.
He looks up at Grant. I'd be satisfied just to get my hands on your correspondence for the last 2 weeks for the time being. He's smiling a little at himself, and Grant smiles too, though he wants to hear a lot more about how Frank wants him. Shall we just start there and see what happens? They don't actually start working right away, though. They finish their coffee and have a light dinner. Very light. Grant is embarrassed to have Frank witness the barrenness of his cupboards. And talk. Actually, talk. For the first time since before Comic-Con. About Comic-Con. About parts of Comic-Con, anyway. There seems to be a mutual unspoken agreement to keep things on a friendly level for right now. Eventually, as the evening stretches out, Frank's eyes start to droop. He excuses himself, mumbling goodnights around a big yawn. Grant smiles and lets him go, but after Frank disappears upstairs, he sits for a moment, then pulls out his mobile. It's mid-afternoon in New York, and Gerard should be at his studio. Grant? Gerard answers his phone on the first ring. Gerard, hello. I believe I owe you an email about scripts. This, sadly, is not that email, or about the scripts at all, except to apologize for the delay. It's okay, Grant. Gerard laughs. Why do you think I sent Frank back? He's not a thing to be sent, Gerard. And furthermore, I know why you did already, because he told me. Grant knows he sounds terribly stuffy, and tries to soften his tone. This is Gerard, after all, his friend, his... But I would like to hear it from you. I know he's not, Gerard retorts. I'm glad you know that. All right, Grant deserves that. He knew Gerard was teasing, and he'd picked at him anyway. Gerard, Grant says, he's totally at a loss for words, because Gerard sent his boyfriend to Scotland with full knowledge of what could potentially happen, and how does one express gratitude for that? How does one request an explanation? Gerard sighs. Grant knew he wasn't really ignoring the other part of Grant's question. Maybe he's having the same trouble expressing himself. I suggested he go, Gerard starts, because you need each other. Like it's actually that simple. And I don't just mean to save you from your terrible organizational skills. He says it dryly, but Grant can hear the wistful little note in his voice. That one little note is why Grant says, "Come to Scotland." He surprises even himself, but the more he thinks about it, it's what he wants. Because so many things here still need to be sorted out, and it's the only way he can figure out to do it. Gerard just says, "What?" Grant presses, "I'll book you a flight right now. Contrary to what Frank may say, I am actually capable of doing these sorts of things. Come, please." "Why?" Gerard still sounds wistful, like there's some foregone conclusion here, and that makes Grant pause. Not because he doesn't have an answer, but because there is so much he feels shouldn't be said over the phone. So Grant says, "For any number of reasons. If nothing else, because I'm sure Frank misses you, and it would give us a chance to discuss some work and perhaps catch up to where we need to be. And those are only the most basic of reasons." Gerard is still resisting. He counters dryly, "Frank can call me, and he's there now, so I trust you'll actually be able to function and send me things. I don't actually need to be in Scotland." Grant sighs. He has no idea what Gerard is thinking, whether he's all right with an open relationship, what he's conceded, anything. He replies, "Consider it a personal request. I'll book you a flight and transportation to Dunoon, and if you show up, I will be thrilled. And if you don't, that's fine too." "Grant, that's not fair! Then I'd feel obligated to come because you bought the ticket." Grant closes his eyes and breathes through his nose. Gerard is occasionally deliberately obtuse. "I don't care much about fare at this point, if it gets you here." Gerard sighs dramatically and says, "Fine, but don't get angry at me if everything goes to hell." Grant grins a little, it's just so Gerard, and says, "See you soon. I'll email you for the details." After he hangs up, he goes and fixes himself a drink and heads back to the parlor to settle into his favorite orange sofa. He's hoping he's done the right thing. Gerard has always been something special in Grant's eyes, has always reminded Grant in many ways of a younger version of himself. There was always an attraction there. Thinking about it too much usually just leaves Grant wondering, with a little laugh at his own expense, if it's mere narcissism or something different. It was an idle enough thought for years, busy as he was, busy as Gerard was, working to establish himself with Grant's help and on his own. Then Frank showed up, a tiny dervish who completely took over Grant's life, which basically is what Grant hired him for, but not nearly expecting what would happen, what he would feel. When Frank and Gerard discovered each other, it made sense to Grant that they would gravitate toward one another, as young and lovely as they are, as many things as they have in common. He will admit to a bit of shock that there might be room for him in their arrangement. He doesn't understand what their arrangement is. He's not sure either of them really understand what they want. They're fumbling through this just like he is, but he knows it's resulted in the presence of the man sleeping upstairs. Grant can still feel Frank's lips against his, heady and sweet and unexpected. He wants more,
Wants things he's sure he doesn't deserve. But he wants. Grant's up early the next morning, calling his travel agent and making the necessary arrangements for Gerard's trip. His first cowardly instinct is to let it be a surprise. Then he considers what he's already put Frank through in the last few weeks and how angry he's seen Frank get in the past, and reconsiders. Frank wakes mid-morning, bolts a cup of coffee, and takes Grant's car down to town to do the shopping. He's clearly noticed the lack of sustenance in the house. Grant surprises him by sending along a large list, and then he waits. Frank comes in with his arms full of grocery bags. Grant, he calls out loudly before he notices Grant is already sitting at the kitchen table. Katie just keeps getting worse and worse every time I see her. She has a dirty mind, and in a lady who looks like my own grandmother, it's sort of disturbing. Frank sets the bags down and then continues, "The worst of it is that it all sounds so charming because of the damn accent." Grant laughs and Frank scowls. "Don't you laugh, you're even worse." He sounds so affronted, looks so irresistible in his cardigan and his jean jacket, that Grant just grabs him. To hell with the resolution to wait and see what happens, this is what Grant wants to happen. Grant pushes his fingers through the long strands of Frank's hair and kisses the shit out of him, leaning back against the counter and tugging Frank in between his thighs. And Frank just goes with it, twists his fingers in Grant's shirt front, and practically climbs up to keep contact. Grant doesn't break the kiss until he's actually lightheaded. Frank is flushed and dark-eyed, lips shiny with spit, and it takes every ounce of restraint Grant possesses to ignore it long enough to confess, "I have to tell you something." Frank pulls away and makes a nervous little face before schooling his features and saying, "Yes?" "I called Gerard last night." Frank makes the nervous face again. Grant goes on to tell him about the arrangements, that Gerard is coming to stay, and Frank sort of shakes himself a bit and says, "Well, that'll be interesting." He starts putting groceries away, and Grant can practically see him composing himself once his back is turned. After a while, Frank says nonchalantly, "When I first started working for you, I had a little bet going with myself as to which of your callers I'd eventually find out was your boyfriend and not just a colleague. Gerard was first on that list." "Interesting, huh?" Grant stutters out, "You said interesting already." He doesn't know where Frank is going with this. Frank merely replies, "Yeah, I did," and keeps working. Grant is glad he ignored his instincts and told Frank, because this was not quite the reaction he was expecting, even if Frank reacted with something other than happiness. "Frank," he starts, and then stops, because he doesn't know what to say or how to say it to make the tension in Frank's shoulders go away, or erase that slightly brittle tone of voice he's using. Clearly, words are not adequate at this point, so despite his fears of going too fast, too far, all Grant can do, all he wants to do, is reach out. So he does.